It's called Home Improvement, and I'm really excited to teach today for just a little while and just kind of give you the next installment of this Home Improvement series. If you need to catch up a little bit, of course, you can always do that on the website, kind of find out where we've been the last couple of weeks. But we're talking all about the house, all about the house. That's your house and this house. How we can improve them in so many ways and in so many areas. And we've established that each of us have two very important addresses in our lives. We've got the house we return to every day after work, back to family, back to schedule, back to routine. And then we have the house that we worship in every week. Houses, they're important addresses in our lives. And it's my heart. I want your house, the house that you live in, to be a place of peace, a place of trust, a place of sanctuary, a place of love. And obviously, we want the same for this house as well. I love this house. I love this house because I know I'm loved here. I've found second chances here. I'm able to serve here. I'm saved here. Does anybody love the house of the Lord? We're grateful for it. It's amazing how many similarities there are between your house and this house. I know one is significantly bigger than the other. I know one is decorated completely different than the other, but some of the same attributes, some of the same characteristics, some of the same values, hopefully, are alive in your local house as they are here in this big house where we worship. And here's what I know today. I know that every house has some specific things, has some specific ways that are unique to that house. I know growing up, we had some specific things, some specific ways, some protocols, if you will, that were, they were just expected in the house I was raised in. I would imagine that you had the same thing growing up and maybe even in your house today. So I'm going to talk to you for the next few minutes today about house rules. House rules. You've all lived and know and have some rules in your house. You may have grown up with particular house rules that have become your current house rules. Others of you may have grown up with some rules that you said, when I get my own house, that is not going to be a rule. I can remember being just a little guy, and my father, I've told that story, he left when I was 5 or 6 years old, but I can remember just very, very early, this is so vivid, but my father would take his fork over onto my plate that had broccoli or green beans or some other highly toxic, nasty food. And he would bang his fork on my plate. And to this day, I don't like to hear that sound. It was a loud, clanging, banging sound, and would tell me that I could not leave the table until I had eaten all of those things. That's abuse. That qualifies as abuse. I need to go on Oprah and sit in one of those big leather chairs and tell my truth. It's abuse. I said, you know what, I'll never do that to my kids. I'll never do that in my house. Now, I'm not a fan of wasted food. I'm not a fan of taking one bite out of something that costs good money and walking away from it. But at the same time, I don't want to force someone to eat something that they do not like. So we have these house rules. Maybe one of the rules in your house was taking your shoes off at the door. Anybody experienced that? You had to take your shoes off at the door. They didn't want our dirty shoes that had been out, you know, in grocery stores or parking lots or a restaurant, you know, out stepping on whatever we step on and tracking that back into the house. So we had to take our shoes off at the door. Or maybe you had to make your bed every day. We had to do this in my house. We had to make our beds every day. And to this day, I get up and immediately make the bed. I make it every day. It was just a house rule. It's what you had to do. Maybe there's no dirty dishes left in the sink. Maybe dirty dishes have to go to the dishwasher. And then what happens if you open the dishwasher and it's full of clean dishes? You just had one little old cup that you were going to add to the dishwasher, and now you're tasked with having to empty all of the clean dishes before you can add your one cup. I'm giving parents some fantastic ideas today. House rules. We have house rules. Maybe your rule is that everyone has to eat dinner at the table together at a certain time. Or maybe another rule for you was if you mess it up, then you have to clean it up. All different kinds of house rules that we have. Just a couple of hours. The Hooper crew, we've always kept a water jug in the refrigerator, and generally our water jug has water container, carafe, whatever, has an extra filtration system on it, and so it's not very big. But the rule is if you drink the last of the water, then you have to refill the water jug and then put it back in the fridge. So the next person coming to get some water has a full water jug to draw from. This is like, I mean, it's punishable by the death penalty in our house. This is serious, serious business. And my kids both think as long as there's one drop left in the water jug, then there was water in there. I didn't have to refill it, you know. But it's a house rule. I don't know, it just kind of became one of those. Another one of those house rules. I promise you, it's not important to me or to Joelle or to Jude, but it's very important to Kristen, is that the washer, the washer and dryer, the washer lid is kept closed at all times. It's a house rule. We don't know exactly why it is. We don't know exactly what the point, but we keep it closed. Even if nothing is in it, you make sure. It's just one of those house rules. Here's another one for us. If someone in the house calls family meeting, doesn't matter who it is, whether it's parent or peon, it doesn't matter who's calling family meeting or where you are or what you're doing. If someone calls family meeting, you have to stop what you're doing and everyone meet in the living room and hear what it is or whatever it is that they need to talk about. It's a house rule. There's some universal house rules that I think are important. I think we need to establish them today. The toilet paper has to roll over and not under. Yeah. This is serious business. If you're not doing this correctly, you need to change this. Fall on the altar today. Get right before God. I mean, it's just the reality. Go to the next picture. Yeah, you've got the correct way at the top. You've got the wrong way, and then whoever does this, I'm not going to call any names of anybody that I live with, but whoever does that, you're not a good person. Need Jesus in your life. The truth is, rules make your house better. Rules benefit your house. Whether it creates organization, whether it engenders respect, whether it brings about better values, I promise you the rules are not hurting anyone. The rules are good. We've got to have house rules. So using that concept, using that context, using that way of thinking, let me ask you a question today. What are some things that will make our church better? What are some house rules for this house, for this big house? What are some rules that need to be established? These are not things that are listed in your bulletin. If you're looking on the back side where there's all kinds of information, they're not going to be listed there. These things are not posted to our website. They're not on our church Facebook page. These are just things that the family knows, the church family knows, things that we look out for because we know that abiding by these things, adhering to these things, putting importance on these things, they make our church better. I got to be honest today because I really don't have time to be cute about this today. I just kind of have to jump into this and teach a little bit. Family talk is usually, it's usually private. It's usually, you know, family member. Our neighbors don't come to that. Our church friends don't come to that. It's our family that's talking. And you may say, well, why not do something like this in a team church rally? The reality is I need everybody to hear this. I want everyone to feel this today and to recognize this and to understand this. So I'm calling a family meeting today. And if you're our guest today and saying, wow, I really enjoyed the worship, this may be my church, good, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're setting in on this family meeting so that you can know where we're going and who we are as a church and what we value and what is important to us. It's important because this is home improvement. This is about becoming a better version of ourselves. This is about growing into who God has called us to be. And I've called a family meeting today because I need to be honest with you. I need to tell you the truth. Someone is putting the toilet paper on in these bathrooms under and not over. And it's a problem. Not really. Loosen up a little bit, folks. Just smile. It's not gonna break your face. Now, the reality is company is coming. Company is coming. Who's the company? It's the family that you've been inviting to come to church with you. It's the coworkers that you've been inviting to be your guest on a soon coming Sunday. Here, just a couple of Sundays ago, one of our members, I was having one of those fast moving Sundays, having to get somewhere, and I realized someone's following me, someone's in tow. I turn around, and they said, "Hey, I just wanted you to meet," and I won't say who it was because I'm not trying to embarrass them, but I wanted you to meet. They had their family member here with them, and they were beaming and proud and excited to have a guest with them at church, and I was so honored to meet their guest and excited. We have company coming, so we want to make sure that our house is everything that it needs to be. There's guest and growth, and we want our house in great condition. We want it sale ready. We want it presentable. What are we selling? We're selling Jesus. We're offering new life. We're presenting a better way of living. This life in Christ is the best life you could ever live, and we want our church presentable so that Jesus is the focus and people aren't distracted by other things. Is that all right? House rules. We've got house rules. So let's talk a little bit about church culture because that's really what that is, house rules. It's culture, but sometimes culture, I think, has become so watered down and so muddy that we don't even know exactly what culture is. But I want to say this, every church, and let me go further than that, it's not just churches, it's restaurants you go to, it's doctor's offices that you visit, it's entertainment, places of entertainment that you go to, that you take your family, every business, every organization. Obviously today we're going to talk about church because that's what all of us collectively are interested in right here during our Sunday morning service. But every church has a culture. And we have culture by design or by default. Meaning, things are the way they are because we designed them to be that way. We are intentional about our culture being this specific way. Or our culture is this way because we have not been intentional about it. We have not put any energy or effort toward this thing, and now that too develops a culture, and it's never a good one. It's never a good one. So we want culture by design. Again, an example so that you understand what I mean. If you've ever gone to a church, or maybe you're a guest of this one, and you say, that's a worshiping church. Well, let me tell you something. That didn't just happen. Someone led the way and decided that their church can't be a dead church. So they worship, and then it catches on, and other worshipers are born and created, and then it's a worshiping church. Or maybe you would say, that's the most generous church I've ever been to. Again, that doesn't just happen. Someone taught giving and then exampled it, and others bought into it, and now it is a giving church. So what is our culture here at the Church Covington? What's our culture? Who are we as a church? And I'm going to give you some examples today of our culture by design and our culture by default. Design, our culture by design is our diversity. Our diversity. It's a beautiful thing. It's an incredible thing. Just look around. I give you permission to turn your head and look around. I mean, red, yellow, black, white. Everyone precious in the sight of the Lord. I went to a restaurant this week, and I was by myself and standing in line getting ready to order, and there was a couple of gentlemen in front of me. I didn't know them, never had seen them before, had not met them, but we small talking, you know, just chatting a little bit, and then ultimately where you're from, what moved you here, and so that I told them I came to pastor a church, and well, I'm a pastor as well. So we start having this conversation. Ultimately, that leads to us just sitting down together and having lunch, and it was awesome. I love meeting other pastors and talking shop and finding out what's working for them and all of that. But eventually, during that time of lunch, one of those gentlemen said, "Let me ask you about something. Your church is very diverse." And I said, "Yes, it is." And I said, I didn't realize coming here, I didn't realize moving here, that is not the case in all churches. And I'm honestly shocked by that. But I realize and I understand, I'm getting to know my new home, and I realize that it's not perfect. And I realize that not every church is diverse. And I'm not here to preach against them or judge them. I tried to help those guys understand the importance of, and this is how you can make a difference. This is how you can get better in this area if you feel like your church is lacking or struggling in that area. But it's by design, our diversity. And hear me loud and clear. God is pleased with our diversity. He's pleased with it. It's a great thing. It's a fantastic thing. But I realize that we're not living in a perfect world. We're not living in a perfect nation. But let me get real specific today. We're not living in a perfect county. We're not living in a perfect community. Racism is entirely too real. It's a problem, and many have given up on a solution. But hear me loud and clear. Newton County needs this church. Yes. Newton County needs you. Needs you. Whether you are my black brother or sister, whether you are my white brother or sister, whether you are my Latino brother or sister, Newton County needs you who can walk into a church with your head held high and say, you know what, I'm not inferior, I'm not looked down on, I worship right beside people of other races, we lift up Jesus together, we magnify the Lord together. No, things are not perfect in society. But when I enter his gates with thanksgiving, when I come into his courts with praise, it's not about black or white. It's about his red blood that has forgiven and cleansed and washed us all. And I don't want to get too deep into that today. It's something that I'm passionate about, and it's something that I want to deal with and help and speak to as much as I possibly can. But I know it's real. I know it's real. I know it's real. And I say to every one of my black brothers and sisters, for generations you were done wrong in this nation. You were done wrong by people that maybe still live with the stigma or the pain or people being unfair or unkind. I'm sorry. I sincerely apologize to you for anything that's ever happened that has hurt you or has been offensive to you. I mean that with all of my heart. I'm not responsible for what other people do. I'm responsible for me. But hear me, in this church or under my leadership, if you've ever felt that from anyone, I stand here today to look you in the eye and say, you know what, that's not right, and we're not going to stand for it, because by design, our culture is diverse. Diverse. Is that all right? What about default? What's our culture by default? Y'all are so late. Woo! Late, late, late. This is the latest arriving church. I've preached all over the world. This is the latest arriving church I've ever been to. It's culture by default. It's just what happens. Just how it goes. I have a heart attack nearly every single Sunday morning at 10 a.m. I'm not kidding you. I'm like needing nitrous. So make sure there's some paddles around somewhere, because every Sunday I think, oh no, that's it. It was a great year and a half, but it's all over. I think y'all aren't coming. Where are y'all? What are you doing? What's holding you up? I know it was never designed that way. It just defaulted and became the culture. And the culture is that everyone arrives late. You say, what's the big deal, Pastor Darrell? We all get here eventually. Well, first of all, we're doing worship for like 45 minutes. Which is awesome. It's great for people that love to worship. Others of you are like, I'm exhausted. I'm sitting down. Why are we doing that? We're doing that because people are still coming in. People are still arriving. People are still coming. Last Sunday, they were coming in halfway through my message. I'm glad you're here. Come, whatever time you can get here, we're glad you're here. I'm not saying we're going to lock the doors at 10 and you can't come in. I'm not saying there aren't reasons for being late sometimes. I understand all of that, but when it is a culture, when we start the service with 25 people and end up with several hundred by 10:30, what just happened? It's culture that is established by default. So why is it a big deal? Let me walk you through a scenario. Someone invites a guest. What's the first question they ask? Where is the church? And what time does it start? And what do you tell them? You say it starts at 10 a.m. You're not about to invite a guest and say, well, our start time is a little fluid. So I tell you what, you get here about 10:30 and things will be really good and cooking. No, they ask where it is and what time it starts, and you say 10 a.m. And guess what? People are not accustomed to being 20 minutes late, so they arrive on time and walk in and they think, I'm the only one here. I came to a church that no one goes to. I came to a church that... Where is everybody? Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open up the doors and where the heck are the people? Smile, smile, smile. It's family talk, family talk. It communicates. It communicates. It communicates by default that people are not excited about their church. People that attend here are not passionate about their church. And before you know it, we have negative normals. We have bad culture. Home improvement. We're getting better. We're getting better. We're getting better. And believe me, it has improved drastically over the last several months, and I'm very thankful for that. But we just want to tighten up. Why aren't we doing that? Because, listen, company is coming. I sincerely believe, I've said this, we're not just going to go through summer. We're going to grow through summer. And God is going to add people to this house, and God is going to draw people and bring people to this house. But I'm telling you, you get ready for what's going to happen in our fall season. Right now, we're just tinkering and tweaking and just making sure that things are what they need to be and things are where they need to be, because I really believe that school's going to go back August 1st around here, and we're going to move into this August, September, October season, and God is going to do some powerful things at the church. Covington, and I'm not waiting until they arrive and then start trying to get ready. You don't wait till company rings the doorbell and then start cleaning the guest bathroom. You clean the bathroom in anticipation that company is coming. You get ready for company before they ever pull into the driveway, and that's what we have to do, because we don't want negative normals and we don't want bad culture. Matthew 21, verses 12 and 13. Let me read a couple of verses of scripture and just point this out. Jesus dealt with some house rules. The Bible said Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out all the people buying and selling animals for sacrifice. He knocked over the tables of money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. He said to them, "The scriptures declare my temple will be called a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves." Jesus was dealing with bad culture, dealing with negative normals, dealing with things, and rightfully so. Rightfully so, because they had taken the most important aspects of church, and they were monetizing it and manipulating it until church was no longer church. Maybe we need to define again who and what the church, talking about this church, the Church Covington, we need to redefine who and what the church is so that we do not lose our why. Why are we doing what we're doing? Why do we come together each week? Why are we doing what we're doing? We don't want to lose our why. I read a tweet this past week while I was preparing for this message, ironically, from a pastor in the nation. He said this: take away the lights, take away the cameras, take away the live stream, the LED screens, the smoke machines, production crews, world-class music, comfy environment, plush seats. What's left is your church. That's all there really was to begin with. Take away all the stuff, and what you're left with is what you really have. Now, don't twist it, because I want all of that stuff. I love our environment. I want our environment to be really good. I want it to be really appealing and very inviting to people. I don't want that to start once they get into this auditorium. I want it to start out in the parking lot, because people decide in the first 7 minutes whether or not they're going to return to this church for a second visit. 7 minutes, folks. We did worship for 45. That's a long time before they get to hear me, Boy Wonder. That means a whole many other people have to be wonderful in the role that they fill. It's got to happen all the way out there. So how do we get good? How do we get good from the get? How do we get good from the beginning? How do we get good from the parking lot? Long before we get up to a pulpit, how do we get good in all? I want our church to be appealing. So I like all of this stuff. I think all of this stuff is important. I'll be honest with you. I want a big screen that fills up one side of this to the other side of this. Big screen so we can do media. We can communicate the gospel on screen and be effective. Your kids watch a screen like 5 hours a day. People are geared towards screens. So when you're trying to win a culture and people, society that is so entertainment driven, and then you bring them to a church that is, you know, like way back in time, it's not appealing. You're saying, well, wham, you know, people ought to just put that stuff away and come to church. I agree, all of that sounds wonderful, but it's not reality. So I'd love to have a screen. I just need about $25,000 to get it done. But people are the church. The church is people. We're grateful for the stuff. We're grateful for the things. One of our screens is out today, so bulb, whatever. But people are who comprise the church. But hear me. The church today is waist deep in cool and thimble deep in conviction. I refuse to be so cool that we cannot communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know what other churches do. I don't know. I've not had pastors from Newton County call and, hey, I just want to take you to lunch. You're the new guy in town. No. I'm not any of that. I don't know anybody here. Never been to anyone else's church. I don't know how they do it. I don't know anything about it. I'm not here to fix them. I'm not here to solve their problem. I'm not here I'm just here to lead people that God has called me to lead. And as for me and my house, to quote Joshua, it's not my house. I don't own this. But as for me and the house where I worship, I want to be waist deep and cool, but I want to be up to my eyeballs in conviction as well. I don't want to just go to a church where I live my life out of bounds and out of the Word of God and someone tell me that I'm wonderful and great and doing it just right just because they want my money or just because they want my behind in their seat. I'm not interested in that. A church is not just numbers. A church is about life transformation, heart change. My life was heading one direction, but because of a Sunday, all of a sudden now I'm headed in the right direction. That's what church is all about. That's what the church is supposed to be. I'm not preaching against cool because we're too weird without it. I don't want to be weird. So Jesus says, let me clear the bad and let me make sure the culture is right and let me establish some house rules. This has got to be a church, house of prayer. So let's talk for just a moment about our house rules. Let me be specific. His house, our rules. Let's affirm or establish some rules for this house. I just need another, just a few minutes. These aren't doctrine. These are not heaven or hell threat. Just things that make our house better. Because we want growth. Not for number's sake, but because every number is a name. And every name represents someone who is saved. snatched out of the flames. Think of it in these terms. Let me get real for you. It's the Chick-fil-A versus McDonald's culture. When you pull up at Chick-fil-A, they say, "It's a wonderful day at Chick-fil-A. It's my pleasure to serve you. What would you like?" And then you give them your order. You pull up to McDonald's, and you sit and wait for about 7 minutes. Hello, hello, hello. And finally, after 7 minutes, you hear, "Go ahead." Two different cultures. Which one do you want to go to, like today? Except one of those is not open. So get ready to go ahead. So let's start right here. House rule. Leave the front door open. Leave the front door open. That's opposite. It's opposite to what you heard in your house. You would get whipped for leaving the front door open. Culture in this house, we got to leave the front door open. It's also opposite to modern leadership, which focuses on closing the back door. And because modern leadership works so hard to close the back door, they become very defensive in their culture versus offensive. Meaning, they're constantly trying to maintain the number that they have, keep from losing anyone from that number. That they stop doing the things that got them the numbers in the first place. Am I making sense? It's family talk. So if we open up the front door of this church and not spend all of our time focusing on the back door. I'm not saying we're not watching the back door. I'm not saying that we're not paying attention to the back door. I realize that the back door represents people who slip through the cracks and people who are not being cared for, people who feel like they're not being valued or they're not being seen or heard, and we never want that. We want people to feel loved, and I don't want anyone to slip through the cracks, and we do work hard on this. We spend a lot of time trying to make sure that people are seen and known and loved. But hear me loud and clear. If people leave because they're uncommitted, then I can't help that. But if they leave because they feel like they're not being cared for, that's a fail. That's no good. So we have to fix that. And I honestly can speak for our staff and pastors and care pastors and our team church, because we really do care about this. We really do work hard on this. It hurts if someone leaves us. This church has had plenty of people leave in the last few years. And I realize it's painful, and sometimes when people leave, you become very inward in your thinking. Well, we don't want to be hurt again, so it's going to be us four and no more, and we're going to get very inward focused and make sure that we take care of one another, because we don't want to lose anymore. We've lost so much. We don't want to lose anymore, and thus we become very defensive when we need to be offensive and get serious about reaching people. But hear me also. It's family talk. If you feel like you're not being cared for, I've had so many people leave me through the years pastoring that said, "I just don't feel like I'm being fed." I finally start saying, "You know what? You're not helping me cook either." That word got out and people stopped coming with that reason. Because I'm amazed at people who do nothing, give nothing, serve nothing, who expect the world in return. I ain't mad at nobody. I love you. But I'm going to tell you the truth. Family talk. Help us help you. That's why we push Discover Church. That's why we push getting you to come spend an hour with us on the second Sunday of the month. Just come give us, we'll feed you, we'll take care of your kids. Y'all hear me say this nearly every week. Come and spend some time with us because we want to know who you are. And then we want you to become a part of this church, membership for real. And we want you to get on a team. I have met so many people in the last year and a half. Almost every week, someone comes up to me in a restaurant or someone sees me at the grocery store and they say, hey, you don't know me, but I'm a member of your church. Really? Awesome. How long have you been there? I've been a member there for 25 years. I'm like, okay, hang on. I've been there a year and a half. I've never seen you before. And I'm not seeing you at church. I'm seeing you at a grocery store. Yeah, but I'm a member. Wait a minute. Georgia's got this weird thing about church membership. I don't know if you're a member because you feel like you're getting a free funeral plot or, you know, I got to be a member because it gets me this or gets me that. But listen, membership is about showing up. Now, if somebody wants to tell me, hey, that's home, that's where I was raised, or that's where I spent 25 years of my life, and I've not been there in 5 years or 10 years, or I left. Man, come on, listen, home is always home. We got a place for you. We'd love to have you back. But I mean, a member? I don't know that you're, I mean, what exactly is all of that? I'm probably scaring y'all half to death, but I want you to get on a team. I want you to get involved. People are busy and people are running and your lives are crazy. But people get on teams. They get on teams. I was just talking to someone this morning that was carrying around a bag of zucchini and squash. I said, man, you've been grocery shopping? Someone just gave me zucchini and squash. I didn't even know we had a garden around here. Yeah, we've got a garden and they've got a bigger one across the east. I just found that out. And I said, hey, if you ever need help with that, I'd love to help. Well, guess what? The Missions Garden just got a new team member. Let me tell you what else happened. The new team member just gained new friends. And because the new team member has new friends, they won't wake up next Sunday morning and say, I don't know, I just don't feel like going. No, they're going to wake up next Sunday morning and say, I want to go see my friends. And I want to go be in worship. Is this making sense to anybody? I feel like I'm all by myself today. That's all right. Get on a team because that's where life happens and that's where you get to know people. The front door is an entrance. First-time guests to your house, they don't know about the side entrance you prefer. They don't know about the bush where you've got a key hidden. They just come to the front door and they push that bell and they expect to be invited in. The church needs big front doors. Room for everyone. All kinds of people. All kinds of people. It would shock you to know some of the people that come to this church. People that have to update with courts. People have to update with probation officers. All kinds of people. And you know what? You're welcome. The doors are open. Come, come, come. Because if all we do is try to establish a church for perfect people or people who have it all together, we are not going to grow very large. Because guess what? The people that are here demanding that everyone else be perfect, they're not perfect either. And it's a whole big mess. So we might as well open up the front doors and say, hey, anybody, whosoever will, if you want Jesus, come on in to this house. You are welcome here. Listen, we're not expecting everyone to be perfect, but hear me. This word will eventually ask you to make a choice and to live a committed life. It will. You'll have to make that decision whether or not you want to take the step into commitment and into following Jesus fully and completely. But I want the doors of this church to be open. We got this unique cafe. It's fantastic because it has outside entrances, and now it has its own AC and heat, and we can lock the doors that we don't want people to have access to, and it's great. But I'd love for our cafe to be open all the time. Just every day of the week. Just people stopping by. I love it. It's one of my favorite things. I'm at the church Monday through Thursday. Lots of times on Saturday, on Sunday. And I love being in my office and hearing clamoring in the hallway. What's going on? Did Dale break something? What's going on? Run out there. Oh, no, it's just people that are stopping by the church. People that are just, what are you doing here? I don't know. I just driving by. I just stopped in. Yeah, come on. That's great. Love for our cafe. We've got a big vision for our cafe to decorate it. Just make it look cool, because cafes are supposed to be cool. Not supposed to be a whole lot of conviction in the cafe. So that's one place it can be just cool, cool, cool. And then just be open. And in the evenings, people come hang out, play games, enjoy fellowship, company, and community. Leave the front door open. Next. Another house rule. Fill the front row first. Buckle your seatbelt. I'm speaking literally. These people that are on the front row are like, whoo, this is awesome. I'm on the front row already. Good job. I'm speaking literally and figuratively. I mean, honestly, I really dislike empty front rows. That's just the truth. This over here is driving me crazy. I was preaching revival in Fort Worth, Texas, and I was there, I don't know, 14 or 15 weeks, but we were a couple of weeks in, and there's a beautiful, beautiful church set, hundreds of people. There were hundreds of people there, but all of these sections, one, two, three, like six sections across the front of this church looked much like this, fan shape, but every section, front row, there wasn't one person on the front row anywhere. And if I'm not mistaken, there wasn't anybody on the second row either. But I mean, everyone came in and filled in the back first and preaching and come on, God can do this. What kind of revival can we have? And just hype and cheerleader and just come on, trying to get somebody to believe. And I said, what's the deal? Why is there no one on these front rows? And there were six or seven old ladies. I say that with nothing but respect, but I mean, they would say that of themselves, just gray hair and, you know, those classy decorative muumuus. They would wear those to church, you know, zip all the way up the front, you know, just beautiful, classy ladies. But they all came to the front row. They were either widowed or, you know, various, single, whatever. Just a gang of ladies, girl gang. And they all came to the front row together throughout the rest of that revival. You couldn't get them off the front. That's where they were. They were on the front row. And I'd go back and preach at that church. I preached there a couple of years ago, as recent as a couple of years ago. And now, you know, that revival has been 17, almost 18 years ago. They began to pass away one by one, and there may just be two of them left, but they sat there. They've sat there for the last number of years. Why? Because they didn't want the front row to be empty. You know what we did? We put out new rows for Easter, and y'all filled up the new back rows first. Why do that? So I sent our ushers and greeters and go find every one of our members, anyone that's not a guest, and ask them please to move up. Why? Because the last thing that we want to communicate to our guest is that they arrive on Sunday and the only available seat for them is on the front row. You hear what I'm talking about, what I'm trying to communicate? It's optics. It's what people see. It's what is communicated to them. It's what they take in and what they witness. Listen, if everybody that calls this church home is fighting for the back row, then just how good is this church? You're on the back row today, Joe. I got you, buddy. We had Good Friday here on Good Friday. it was fantastic. It was incredible. It was an awesome night. But I'm going to tell you something. That night was tight. Spiritually, it was tight. You're saying, what does that mean? What do you mean it was tight? My kids the next day, Elle said, Dad, what was the deal with the service last night? And I knew immediately where she was going, but I'm always trying to teach and get her to think. And I said, what do you mean? She said, it just didn't feel like our church. I said, what do you mean by that? She said, it wasn't our normal level of worship. It wasn't us. I said, all right, let me explain something to you. We had, I don't know, around 200 people in our Good Friday service. But the majority of that crowd, hear me, stay with me just a moment. The majority of that crowd were guests. Very few of our church was here. I remember it started at 7 o'clock, and like 10 minutes till 7, our lobbies were full. And I'm like, what? Well, this is not at what? People got here early? This is amazing. Well, no, they didn't get it. It was just people that were invited or saw the advertisement, and they came, and guess they arrive on time, if not a little early. So we fill the room up with guests, and then we start singing our songs of worship. But guess what? They're not coming from a place of worship. They're coming from a place of world. They're not coming from a place of commitment. They're coming from a place of, I've got all this junk in my life and all these issues in my life. And so they didn't know how to break through or to lift hands or to create that atmosphere of worship and that atmosphere of breakthrough. So that's why my 15-year-old is saying something didn't feel quite right. It's because there wasn't enough of our church here to say, you know what? Because here's the deal. If Aaron is full of the devil, and he's not, but if Aaron is here at church with me and he's struggling in his life, or he's got all kinds of stuff and he's coming, he just said, but I'm sitting beside him and I'm just, come on, Jesus, fill me up, God, fill me up. Then guess what's happening? I'm not just worshiping for me, I'm worshiping for him too. I'm not just getting my own breakthrough, I'm getting a breakthrough for Aaron as well. And before you know it, halfway through that service, you look over and Aaron's got a tear running down his face. What is that? It's the power of the Holy Spirit, and he didn't even ask for it. Wait a minute, Pastor Darrell. I was just busy. I didn't feel like coming that night. I get it. But sometimes church is not about me. Sometimes obedience is better than sacrifice. And sometimes I'm faithful because something is going on that needs my presence. Because see, too many of us still have the mindset, what am I going to get out of it? How is it going to benefit me? What have you done for me? That's the way we think about these things, the way we approach these things. And if we can't see an immediate benefit for ourselves, then we're not interested. And what I need to have happen is for people in this room, by the dozens, by the many, by the majority, say, hey, you know what I get for me? I get for me the blessing of serving other people. I cannot tell you how many times in my life I have been sick as a dog in a pulpit preaching about God's ability to heal. And while I'm trying to get someone else healed of whatever it is they're going through and dealing with, all of a sudden I realize, wait a minute, I'm no longer having a fever. I'm no longer feeling sick in my body. What just happened? I got busy with someone else on my mind, and God said, I'm going to bless you in the process of you blessing someone else. Hey, what would happen if we would fill up these front rows first? And create the culture of excitement. Listen, if you got small kids or a small bladder, the front row isn't your spot. And let me just add this. If you have to get up and go out during the service, please find the most direct route to the nearest door rather than wander all over the building. It's happened today. People come in that door from the restroom and literally walk all the way around this section. Where was I sitting again? Meanwhile, worship's going on. Our preaching's going on. Is this all right? Am I? That's going on up here. And guess what? Randall may be needing to hear the word that's being preached today. And Tammy, he may be locked in, my spirit and his spirit, the Holy Spirit joining us together, and that word is speaking directly to him, and here comes a distraction that can't find their seat. Or just want, hey, Carrie, how you doing, man? What's going on? I know worship's going on behind me, but I thought you and I could just talk about, you know, the weather. What's going on? Because all we're thinking of is ourselves. But guess what just happened? All the devil needed was one distraction to break the link between Holy Spirit and Randall. This is too much, isn't it? You with me, Kristen? Pastor, you ought to do that in team church. I know, but the problem is the ones who are distracting are not in team church. So at some point, we got to do some family talk and just deal with it. While I'm at it, it's the worst thing is when I get away from my notes and then the Holy Spirit starts speaking through me. I done made them mad. I might as well go ahead and finish it off. When pastor or whoever's preaching is making an altar call, please don't make that your time to mad dash for the door. Wow. I realize you're already saved. I realize all your problems have already been solved. I realize you've already got as much Jesus as you possibly can handle. But there is someone else in this building who has not found what you found. There's someone who doesn't know what you know. There's someone who's feeling this for the very first time and they're still amazed by it. So don't be a distraction. Hold on just a minute. In fact, the Bible, look it up in Revelation, it said the Spirit and the Bride. Well, if the Lord wants them saved, he'll call them. But he said, we're connected. Alfonso, he said the Spirit and the Bride. That means his Spirit and you and me. We're the bride. We all join together and partner with him to see souls saved. So if this bride is being a distraction, then I'm messing up the work that the Spirit is doing in their life. Fill the front row first. I give ushers to help people find their seat. I give you permission. I deputize you. I give you authority. Help people find their seat. Because sometimes we're too casual at this house. We want to be just as casual as we are at our other house. Come help me. It'll encourage me. Stop me. Don't be too casual at this house. That's why when you get home today, you'll take off your church clothes and you'll put on your house clothes. Those house clothes are not welcome at church house. Why you don't wear your PJs to the church? I want you to be comfortable, but everybody else wants to be comfortable as well. Because if I have a front row mindset, I realize I'm being seen by everyone. So I need to be an example. I can't sleep on the front row. What happens is when people come in and see people so excited that they sit on the front row, it is contagious. And that's why it's perfectly in order. I love that you talk back to me when I'm preaching. I love Atlanta. It's church around here. It's funny. You go to the movies and they're having church in Atlanta. If it's a scary movie, they're hollering, don't go in that door, baby. Don't. I'm talking about the patron. The person sitting on my row is hollering at the screen. We went to that breakthrough movie, spiritual. Saw people from our church there. There are people just worshiping, hands lifted. Hallelujah! Ain't it good? It's all right to talk back in church. If you get out of hand, we'll tell you. I went to church one time. There was this guy, new guy, and he would whistle loud. Kristen, whistle loud one time. Come on. That right there. He would do, she's pretty good at that, huh? That's what he would do. That was his version of amen. And I remember the old pastor, J.T. Pugh, he was just very dignified. You know, he was going to be up there in his suit. Didn't matter if it was Wednesday night. And every time he'd make a wonderful point about the Lord, that would go off. And he wasn't quite sure who it was. He was older and eyesight was dim and hearing aids and the whole nine yards. And finally, that went off four or five times and just his introduction. And finally, he looked and he couldn't see who it was. He finally said, "Hey, don't do that." I don't know if the guy ever came back to church or not, but sometimes you got house rules. I love there being people on the front rows. I'd love for there to be more people on the front rows. But really, I want everyone to worship and to engage and to lead like they're on the front row. Which means it should be happening all over the house. From front to back, from stage to worship. We got it. I know we just did auditions, and I'm excited because I hear there's some great voices that we didn't even know we had. And maybe you missed that. If you want to audition, be a part, please see our team. They'll do that. They'll make it easy. And men, I need some men. Men, I need men on this stage. Because again, we're a diverse church. I want men on this stage as well. I need some men to audition. Come, want to help lead worship. But hear me. Can we find out if any of these singers know how to dance? I'm talking about how to move a little bit, you know. Get their, make sure their hips get the Holy Ghost. Hips don't lie, that's what they said. Some movement, some excitement on this stage. Why? Because church is fun. And I just came into the most exciting experience I've had in 6 days. I've been at work or living in hell or running from doctor's appointment to a doctor's appointment. And now I come into this church and it's not people just sitting on their hands or with their arms folded or just sauntering in late. There is an excitement here. There is a zeal here. There is a passion here. These people are on fire for God. I got them playing just to make you feel better. I still have one more. This is where I need to end today, and I'm sorry, I've been too long. Here's the last one. Walk around like you own the place. House rule. Leave the front door open. Fill the front rows first. Walk around like you own the place. Now, before that gets misunderstood, let me tell you what I mean. If you're new, then be new. No pressure. I say this all the time, and I mean it with all of my heart. If you're our guest today, I promise you I do not preach like this all the time. Come back next week. Just having some family talk today. But if you're our guest and you're interested in this, well, all right, I'm glad to know what is expected or where this church is going. Maybe I am glad you're here today. There's no pressure. You can be a guest here as long as you need to be. But don't be offended if we come on, hey, you know there's Discover Church. Come on, we do not hide our intentions. We want you to be a part of this house. We want you to be a part. You ever been to one of those timeshare deals? They promised you a $10 gift card, you know, if you'll come sit through a 2-hour presentation. And they'll tell you on the way, and listen, we don't want anything from you. We don't want, no. Just come on. We just have our cookies, have our punch. We just want you to listen. We're not asking you to do anything. That's not true. They're going to spend 2 hours asking you to do something. And then you just go ahead and try to leave like they said you could. They'll just about lock the doors. This is not like that. We're being up front. We want you to be a member of this house. We want you to be on the team. Our guests are under no obligation at all, but if this is your house, then I want you to treat it like it's your house. You say, great, somebody finally put me in charge. No. Oh, listen. Here's the big idea. The big idea is that you graduate from being a consumer to being a contributor. From being served to serving. From being a customer to being an owner. Let me tell you something about owners and investors. They treat their business much different than the consumers do. On many levels, you go to any restaurant, wherever you go to lunch today, just take in your surroundings, look around. It doesn't bother people if their napkin falls on the floor, they just leave it there. Doesn't matter if their kids destroy like a 6-block radius around their table for four. I was in line to go to the movies the other day, and God bless this sweet little grandmother who had her grandkids, I guess, but they were giving her every fit imaginable. She had threatened and drew red lines. She didn't make good on any threat, so they just kept on ramping it up. But that kid kept leaning over and stepping on my foot. Just a little guy. You don't think I'm mean if you want. Because at first she was like, no, baby, step over here. But then it was a game to him. I know what your problem is, kids. You have not been whipped. I don't even know you, son, but I am just the man for the job. Grandma kept trying to corral him. She'd turn around and he'd reach again. He was mid leg up in the air. That third time he was about to hit my foot, I said, I dare you. His eyes were as big as saucers. He dropped that foot down beside him, put his hands in front of him, and did not move again until they called. Now, I'm not successful with my own kids. They do whatever they want. But with yours, no, just look around today and you'll see it. But I guarantee you, you can pick out the owner of that establishment. Because they're walking around and is everything okay with your meal today, sir? Just want to make sure you're happy with the experience you're having. The owners, they got bus people to take care of tables. They got staff that mops and cleans. But I guarantee you, if you see the owner of the restaurant, he's got a rag shoved into his back pocket. I walked into one of our great restaurants here just 2 weeks ago. We had a guest, Justin Howard was here, and we went to a restaurant, and I had discovered church, so they arrived before I did. And when I walked in, the door had spilt open, and there was, I don't know if it was the mom and the daughter, the aunt, the daughter, I don't know who, but it was a whole family fight. Somebody was bleeding. They had thrown their tea glass across the table at the, y'all may be here needing Jesus, Lord, have mercy. I didn't recognize them, so praise God. But they threw their tea glass and it broke and all the glass fell on a newborn baby in a car seat. It was crazy. And Pastor Dale, you know, just, I love awkward. I really do. Especially when it's not my awkward, but I'm like, y'all having a good day? They were F-bombing and just throwing, slinging, and just ready to fight right out on the sidewalk. And I mean, just going at it in a nice restaurant. But when I could get through the door, there was the little manager. We see her sometime on Sunday. There she was. She's just this tall. There was a little manager. She was frantic. She was scared to death. This had never happened on her watch. And so here this little sweet manager and big giant Pastor Daryl, she was concerned about me walking through the spilt tea. So she gets me by the arm with both hands and she starts trying to guide me to make sure. And I called her by name. I said, if I were to fall, what would you do? She said, I hadn't thought that far. I said, you would die. It's the difference in owners and consumers. Consumers don't care, but owners. It's why I need you to walk around here like you're an owner. With a rag in your pocket. If you see something out of place, put it back in its place. If you see trash on campus, pick up the trash. What's wrong with everybody pitching in and doing their part? What would be wrong with us getting out of this consumer mindset that says, I'm waiting on someone else to do it for me? I'll tell you the truth. Owners are responsible for the bills. They're not leaving it to be paid by everyone else. Graduate from coming and getting blessed to being a blessing. I'm just coming to see what I can soak up, what I can get, what I can. I'm going to be a blessing. Owners never say, that's not my job. This church, it's our responsibility. It's our responsibility. It's It's not just mine. It's not just PK's. It's everyone's responsibility. We got to treat it like all of us are owners in this house. Everyone is a greeter. The owner is walking around smiling at everyone because he's glad they're there. We want people to be glad they came. You know why? Because there's a chance they'll become owners as well. So the house you were raised in, it had rules. It's a cringe word. We don't like it in 2019. But I trust you hear the heart of God today. And the doors of this church are open. If you've been looking for a spiritual home, if you've been trying to figure out where you fit, where your place is, doors of this church are open. You can find refuge here. Let me tell you something. I don't have time to preach the rest of the story. But when Jesus got the house right, go read verse 14. The Bible said immediately the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, in the house, and he healed them. They had been monetizing and merchandising, and all their miracles were conditional on what they could do, what they could pay. When Jesus moved all of the junk out, hit reset on the house, all of a sudden blind eyes started opening, deaf ears started hearing, the lame started walking. There are miracles in this house today. You're saying, how in the world could there possibly come a miracle out of the mess you just preached? I'll tell you how. Because God loves order. Fill my life till all they see is you, Lord. God loves order. And when you set things in order, there are miracles. Would you stand with me all over the house? Jesus. Sing it one time. Sing it one time.
Fill my heart till all they see.
I pray for every heart in this house. I pray for every life. I preached too long, a long time.